This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pinchem, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published by JNS Spine on March 29, 2013. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are spinal cord injury and the cervical spine. A less invasive cervical laminoplasty for spondylotic myelopathy that preserves the semispinalis cervices muscles and nuchal ligament. A clinical article by Masayuki Umeda and colleagues. In this article, the authors report on their prospective study of a modified cervical laminoplasty for cervical myelopathy. This unilateral open-door laminoplasty method with hydroxyapatite spaces can completely conserve the C2 and C7 spinous processes and inserted paravertebral muscles. The neurological findings, axial neck pain, spinal imaging data, and clinical results over a 2-year period are discussed in detail. The patients who underwent this procedure showed very good neurological function, and the incidence of postoperative axial neck pain was low. Moreover, sagittal alignment and range of movement were preserved comparatively well, and only slight atrophy of the deep extensor muscles was observed. The union rates of bone hydroxyapatite spacer bonding were high, and bony union at the gutter was obtained. The authors conclude that the reported method is easy to perform and is associated with low incidences of axial pain and serious complications, and could therefore be of benefit in future cervical laminoplasty protocols. Anatomical feasibility of performing a nerve transfer from the femoral branch to bilateral pelvic nerves in a cadaver. A potential method to restore bladder function following proximal spinal cord injury. A laboratory investigation by Justin Brown and co-authors. Nerve transfers are known to be effective for restoring control to paralyzed somatic skeletal muscle. The authors previously showed that nerve transfers can also restore bladder contractions in denervated detrusor smooth muscle in dogs. In this study, the authors dissected 20 human cadavers to investigate whether femoral nerve branches could be transferred to vesical branches of the pelvic nerve to potentially restore motor control to the denervated urinary bladder. They split 2 femoral nerve branches innervating the vastus medialis and intermedius muscles from the trunk for approximately 17 centimeters down the left anterior thigh. These branches were mobilized and tunneled under the inguinal ligament to reach the vesical branches of the pelvic nerve on both sides of the bladder. The cross-sectional areas of the nerves at the suggested anastomosis sites were comparable, averaging 4.4 square millimeters for the femoral nerve branches and 2.6 square millimeters for the vesical branch of the pelvic nerve. This successful demonstration of the surgical feasibility of transferring femoral nerve branches to vesical branches of the pelvic nerve opens the door to exploring the possibility of using nerve transfer techniques to restore bladder function in patients with cervical or thoracic spinal cord injury. Anatomical feasibility of C2 pedicle screw fixation. The effect of variable angle interpolation of axial CT scans. A clinical article by Joseph O'Brien and co-workers. Anatomic studies have shown that the C2 pedicle might not tolerate screw placement in 25% of patients. However, those traditional studies based C2 pedicle measurements on axial CT or CT angiography. Manual anatomic measurements show that the pedicle might be larger than it appears on axial CT scans. Also, the axis of the C2 pedicle is not perpendicular to the long axis of the patient, which is how axial CT images are obtained. The authors show that manual measurements of the C2 pedicle are more closely approximated by use of variable axis interpolation of axial CT scanning, and that the C2 pedicle might be more tolerant of pedicle screw placement than previously thought. Isolated cervical spinal canal stenosis at C1 in the pediatric population and in Williams syndrome. A clinical article by Sohum Desai and colleagues. Isolated cervical canal stenosis found at the level of the atlas is a rare cause of spinal cord disease in the pediatric population. It has been associated with a number of genetic disorders, including Down syndrome and Klippel-Feil syndrome. This study highlights the author's experience with isolated cervical canal stenosis in 4 additional pediatric cases. The authors also report a new association of this disorder with Williams syndrome. The authors include 11 boys and 1 girl in this aggregate series. The average age of the patients was 7 years. Their symptoms had lasted approximately 6 months prior to presentation. The patients were followed for an average of 18 months. In the authors' aggregate series, during the course of this investigation, 2 new pediatric patients had hyperplasia of the atlas that was associated with Williams syndrome, which is something that has not been described before. Laminectomy of C1 provided neurological improvement in all patients. This report may assist in prompting clinicians to consider isolated cervical canal stenosis at the level of the atlas as a potential cause of cervical myelopathy, especially among children. Thank you for listening. JNS PG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group.